wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
And welcome back to the Gridiron, guys. We are here back on a regular schedule, safe and sober, unlike the disaster class that was last week. But thankfully, a week is a long time in football and the podcasting world, because now the savior is back. Cam, how you feeling? How's the newborn? Obviously, congratulations as well, but yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you very much, mate. Yeah, look, you're right. A week is a very long time, as I've just found out with the severe lack of sleep that I've had over the last week. But I just really want to give you a shout out for last week. I was thoroughly impressed that you've just managed to go and have yourself a little monologue for 30 minutes. We might have found ourselves some new fans of the ASMR industry, because some of the feeding noises in the background, you might get a few extra fans coming out of the woodwork.
Anyways, yeah, I'll open up the YouTube channel and we'll be loaded up after Christmas, I think. But I think we should tuck into this week. Couple of things that came off, I think, just to start off before we get into the games, COVID's been a big issue lately, but I think an interesting one was things that love to get swept under the rug in the NFL. And I really enjoyed that now that the going is getting tough for the Bucs, Antonio Brown is now back on the list after previously being, I don't know if he was even waived or stood down or whatever, but when the going gets tough, they sort of seem to ignore everything else and he's back. And I believe they just signed another running back as well to cover the loss of Leonard Fournette as well. Not Freeman, is it? Or
nope, they have reunited no. The
Le'Veon Bell. That's
Antonio,
right.
That's right, Antonio.
I was thinking Raven. One of the weird 2016 throwbacks that was on the Ravens list this year.
Yeah, so we've they've gone Le'Veon Bell. So they've brought the boys back together from the Pittsburgh Steelers days. And I never would have thought this, but I guess we can thank Leonard Fournette and Chris Godwin while we're at it for costing us our fantasy matchup this week.
Yeah, geez, that's a real kick in the guts, especially because we were looking so good all year. We're flying high. And then, crash and burn. But credit to whoever beat us. They had a pretty handy side. And Cooper Kupp has been the fantasy wide receiver of the year, really.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Darren sent us a sneaky little message after he beat us, just letting us know that he got on top of us. So, look, congratulations to him. Hopefully he can go pretty deep and knock off Meikle. We don't want him winning anything.
Absolutely. All right, well, I think, shall we just tuck into a bit of the games this week? The fixtures were basically thrown into turmoil this week. So, kicking off with the first game, which is the Friday one, the Chiefs versus the Chargers. This was quite a close matchup in the end. Going down to OT, this is looking like it's going to be a regular battle between Mahomes and Herbert, and I think we're all going to be better for it, really.
Yeah, this was an absolute cracker, and I think we've spoken, and I suppose most people have spoken throughout the year about the Kansas City Chiefs, and obviously when they were 3-4, we discussed, oh, are they done? Are they having a bit of a slump? But I said we wanted to be a bit cautious on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and say you can never write this team off. They're too good, and they've proven it. Like, I think they've won 7 in a row. They're leading the AFC, and they're on fire.
Well, I mean, they've just got too many weapons to not be quiet. Like, you look at Patrick Mahomes, he goes out and tosses 400-odd yards. He's obviously brought in those interceptions. He still threw one on the weekend, but he's definitely not dishing out as many as he did before. You know, guys like Kelce Hill, Clyde Edwards had a quiet game this week, but normally he's been quite good. I know their defense has been back, but, you know, they really just came out and balled out. It's the air game. Kelce with 191 and Hill with 148. Like, that's just bonkers to have, you know, two guys over 100-plus yards, and they're basically getting all the targets anyway. So, you're pretty happy when you've got a cannon arm like Mahomes, and then you've got two absolute goat receivers almost.
Yeah, and I think it's funny. I saw the odds have changed drastically. I think when we were talking about after week 7, and they were 3-4, and now they've shot back into Super Bowl favorites. Like, I think even if you put money on them a couple of weeks ago, you've already would have made some money on the cash out already.
That's huge. We love that. I think it was a good game, though. Like, it basically seed and sword, and then we came down to OT. I think, you know, Kelce was great with that touchdown run, but gee whiz, those defenders in the Chargers, how are you going to let a big man like that put you on skates? There were three guys that he absolutely juked to the end of the earth to manage to take that one out.
Yeah, he must be super deceptive because you look at him and you think, oh, yeah, most tight ends aren't the most agile blokes. They sort of get those big sort of catches and just drop down and get tackled. But, man, he broke free plenty in that game. And, yeah, as you said, made blokes look silly that are probably far, far more agile and far quicker.
Yeah, so huge by the Chiefs. As we said, they sort of take the lead, commanding at the AFC, possibly looking for that number one seed, which is going to be really important. I think the one thing that we can probably note is that a lot of teams are beating each other, and considering now that the one number one seed is the only one that gets a bye into the playoffs, it's going to be really important in the long run. So then moving on to another top matchup for the AFC was the Patriots versus the Colts. Colts running through Jonathan Taylor, running into basically MVP form at the moment. But New England have been on a run with Bill. He's just been rolling his magic. Mac Jones has been playing quite well. Just the whole team sort of experience out of New England. I wouldn't say that anyone's been like a shining light that you sort of think, oh, this guy's an absolute barnstormer. But just the whole team, the defense, the run game, and just the options of whether you make Mac pass 300 yards or 30.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right, absolutely. And I suppose we were talking about this one during the game, and I suppose both teams struggle if you can stop the run game. And I think the Patriots couldn't get a run game going on the Colts defense. I think the Colts are probably a bit of a smoky. If they get into the playoffs, if a team can't stop the run, then they're in trouble. But if they can sort of force Jonathan Taylor into shorter runs and obviously not breaking out in what he did and making Wentz throw, that's when they're going to get beaten. But look, they're dangerous if they can make it. Patriots, on the other hand, I actually didn't think they were too bad. I think the blocked punt touchdown, and look, they got themselves into the game. And I think we were talking, and I said, oh, look, they're back. They'll make their way back. The Patriots always do after being shut out in the first half. But that Jonathan Taylor run after they got right back in the game just broke the camel's back.
Well, I think, as you said, you know, the way to stopping this team is obviously stopping the run. But looking at Jonathan Taylor, how do you actually stop this guy? Like, you're looking at his past several games. I think he's had about like five or six over 100, like almost not even just 100, 150-ish, you know, and then a couple below 100, but they're like 80-odd and 70-odd. Like, it's just ridiculous. And that's why we're talking about him. He's in MVP form, but he literally is carrying this team, multiple touchdowns. Like, he's literally scored a touchdown in every game since round three, I think it is. He's just a machine. And especially now that he's sort of starting to work a bit more with Wentz. Wentz didn't do too much on the weekend, but he's starting to be a bit more economical with him and working with him. So they were able to keep drives alive and basically keep feeding Taylor more and more opportunities throughout the game.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, I mean, they're heavily relying on him. Wentz is getting better. But yeah, that offensive line, if they can stay healthy and use Jonathan Taylor to the best, like, I think it's a bit of a shame. I think it's a shame that we lost Derrick Henry so early in the season, because I guess the battle between him and Jonathan Taylor for the best running back of the season would have really heated up. I know Henry's still up the top there for all his stats because he just ran it so often. But Taylor's pushing a case to make 2,000 yards. I mean, with the extra game, he'll probably make it, but it would have been for a huge battle for between the two.
Yeah, especially considering the same division. I suppose the only thing hanging over the Colts' head is I believe the Titans have beaten them twice this year, so they have the tiebreaker there if push comes to shove. So I think that could be the only thing standing in the Colts' way. I think the Titans are ahead by one, maybe two games at the moment. Correct me if I'm wrong, but...
I think they're ahead by one.
Yeah, ahead by one. So, you know, leading down the stretch, there's, what, three games left, I think, and you're sort of looking on, is this going to be if I end up in a wild card spot or even though they're even with the Titans there?
Yeah, look, I think I'm looking ahead of their schedule. The Colts have a huge matchup this week against Arizona, who we know went down to Detroit, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But then they have the Raiders and they're at their home, and then they've got the Jaguars. So I think they'll probably win the last two. This next one's crucial in terms, because the AFC, as you said, is deep now. I think there's 12 teams still in the running to make the playoffs.
Well, I think probably a big way to show that was potentially the Browns. Now, I'm probably skipping ahead a bit, but there was a stat there, if the Browns sort of beat the Raiders, they were looking at potentially one of the top seeds in the AFC. They lose that game. They drop down to number 12 seed at the moment. So sitting there at 7-7. I mean, that's just how much of a seesaw this place is.
Yeah, I think looking at that, could you say that this is probably one of the most uncertain or one of the most even seasons? I don't know if it's due to certain facts, like are the teams more even, or is there just so much uncertainty this year that there's just been so many upsets?
I think it's definitely probably a bit more even, to be honest. I think people are coming out there, they're playing quite good games, and it doesn't matter, you know, and that's why they call it any given Sunday, right? All you got to do is turn up and you're a chance. Doesn't matter what sort of form you're in or whatever, as long as you turn up and you play out, the ball may just roll your way. And that's what we're sort of seeing a lot of the time. So I think definitely they're a bit more even. Teams across the board, there's not probably as many. I think we're definitely not seeing as many sort of superstars at the moment. You know, you sort of look at the top QBs, what I could probably name maybe four or five that I think these guys are really elite. The rest I could, you know, be okay with that. I think it's similar with the running back position, maybe a few more in the wideouts and stuff. And then flip it on the defense side. There's been, I think there's just been astounding defense this year. This has been a year for defense if it's got to ever be, really.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. You're like, offensively, yeah, there is a few standouts, but yeah, defensively, some of these teams are bringing out some absolute fire each week. And I think that's what's going to break it down towards the end of the season. I know there's certain teams that probably could make the playoffs, but due to the fact of, yeah, their inability to play defense is probably what's going to cost them down the stretch.
Yeah, all right, moving into another couple of games. I think it would be nice to touch on the Miami Dolphins. Look, I think they've won about six or seven in a row here, and they are sitting at 7-7. They just clicked over another nice win over the Jets. Tua Tagovailoa, he is really stepping up, hasn't he, lately?
Yeah. Oh, Tua's hit some form since he's somewhat of an injury. I know they were 1-7 to start the season or something ridiculous, and sitting at 7-7 now. And as we've just mentioned about the AFC being so tight, these guys are more than capable of making it. I'm just bringing up their draw here. Now, they have a Saints who's got a really good win over the weekend, so that's crucial. Titans and Patriots. Now, that's not a favourable run home. I suppose if we want to talk about their win streak, they've beaten the Jets, the Giants, Panthers, Jets, Ravens, which is probably their biggest win, and Texans. So, look, they're probably a hard one to gauge here. I think Tua's playing really well. The teams they've been put up against, and I know you can only play who you've got, but Ravens is probably their biggest win out of that, and they've got three games. If they can win two or three of these games, they definitely deserve to be there.
Yeah, I suppose it's like early season Denver Broncos, wasn't it? They were sort of undefeated there for a while, and I probably got a bit glazy-eyed there, really enjoying myself. But life comes at you fast, I suppose, when you sort of have to step up and play the real team. So, and I suppose that's what the Dolphins felt at the start of the year. They really got hit with it a bit at the start. So they've been able to build some confidence. I think worst-case scenario, if they manage to take one or two wins of those last three, that's probably a successful season for them, you see, because they've been able to fix their wrongs at the start of the year because they got absolutely pantsed a lot of the times. They've come back, as we sort of said, they've had a nice win streak. If they take away one or two games from some decent teams here at the end of the day and they're potentially in the hunt for a playoff spot, you can't fault them if they just miss out, you know, because of a tiebreaker or something like that.
Yeah, huge. Absolutely. And I think, look, you're right. They probably may not make the playoffs this year, but as you said, that's a tick in a box for this year based on how they've started. And I think they've got a few draft picks and some cash in the bank for next year. I mean, it's a favorable place to be. I think Dolphins in the next few years, if Tua does continue on this trend, I don't think they're going to be too bad.
Yeah, definitely a fun sort of area as well. And it's marketable as well. We all know South Beach down there. It's quite a nice place, you know. Not too many people want to go out into the Windy City or, you know, some cold areas like Packers, even though they do win a lot. But, you know, push comes to shove if a guy at the later of his career, you know, the arthritis is starting to hit in. You probably want to go somewhere warmer, don't you?
Yeah, correct. Those joints are going to be absolutely hissing in the cold. So, yeah, get down to the Sunshine State.
All right. I think we'll get stuck into the Denver game. Hey, we go down to Cincinnati, 15-10. Big story out of that was Teddy Bridgewater's concussion there. So Drew Lock had to take over a bit. I think this was a game of missed chances for both teams, essentially. You know, Cincinnati would have really wanted to put their foot down and show the league that they can really put away the easier teams. Jeez, I can't believe I'm saying that. But, you know, I think it was great by our defense for one. That was unreal. But I think, as I said, missed chances. So what I'm going to bring up is one example at the end of this, end of the second quarter. So towards the first half, we had an opportunity. It was 3-3 to kick a field goal, finish the half, go up 6-3. We missed the field goal. We leave 20 seconds on the clock. The Bengals go down and they kick a field goal. So they go up 6-3. I mean, you take that and you look at the end score 15-10, even if say we missed that field goal and stop them from kicking a field goal in those 20 seconds, that's 12-10 loss potentially. Or you even flip that further, and if we manage to kick that field goal, that's a 13-12 loss. Now, I'm probably drawing a big bow here, but this is what this is, a game of inches really, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. I suppose there's so many of these moments in games where you look back and go, fuck, why didn't we do this? Why didn't we do this? And I suppose at the time you don't consider it, but looking back, there is obviously times in the games you're like, well, what was the point of that? Why did we do this? I didn't really catch too much of this game. I mean, looking, and I suppose this is just the scene for the Broncos all year, is you really are just that quarterback away from being a really dominant team. The run game with Gordon and Williams is elite at the moment. Like, those two are just racking up numbers each week, just punching down the line. Receivers are serviceable. Your defense is lights out. Like, defense has just been unbelievable. Patrick Surtain, again, has been so good. I think I saw played 10 in coverage, got targeted zero times. Like, the man's just locked corner, and he's going to be there for so long, and he's going to be so good in the future. But, look, yeah, that's going to be the biggest question mark, I think, for them. I don't see you guys making playoffs. But that quarterback, if that gets filled next year, I'd be worried.
Yeah, I think unfortunately we're probably going to end up, as we sort of mentioned with the Dolphins, just on the outside looking in those sort of wild card spots. Look, quarterbacks, I got to say, Drew Lock, you know, he played well, all right? He did okay, yeah. And he showed a lot of heart out there. I think there was a great play where he unfortunately decided to tuck the ball and run. Now, he's not a runner at all. We all know that. He got strip sacked essentially, but you know, credit to him, he followed it up and managed to strip the ball back out of that guy's hands. So to get the ball back, so that showed a lot of heart, and you know, he's got a lot of courage for a kid, but he's not a, you know, first string quarterback in the NFL, and he's probably not someone you potentially even want as the backup to be, say, for someone like Teddy Bridgewater, who is at risk of going out a fair bit.
Yep, 100%.
All right, we might touch on a couple other games then. I suppose a big one was the Packers v. the Ravens. Do you want to tuck into your boys?
Yeah, I think we need to talk about this one. And I think people are saying, obviously, look, it's a hard one to watch. If you're looking at it from the outside, you think, geez, that's a cracking game. I think as a Ravens fan, the amount of people that we've currently got out at the moment, like Green Bay really should have walked this one in. A massive credit goes out to Tyler Huntley, I think, as a backup quarterback. He's come in and done an absolutely huge job. Now, if we look at the Ravens' last three games, we've lost by a total of 4 points over the last three. So we've been in them with the amount of injuries. So then this team's got a lot of grit and a lot of determination. But it's those last-minute calls for the two-point play. And as you said, I suppose, there's points in the game where you make decisions where you probably think, why didn't we do this? It was early in the game. I think we went for it twice on fourth down in our red zone and didn't get it. And look, you've got the best kicker in the league, Justin Tucker. Why don't you use him? But I suppose that's hindsight for you. But yeah, what are your thoughts on the two-point play?
I think we're probably going to differ here because I know you're pretty keen on, well, I suppose you've been on the receiving end of missing the 2 points. So you're probably keen to kick them at the moment. But I think for me, this isn't like a Brandon Staley, you know, the statistics add up, you need to go for the two, whatever. This is like a feeling of Baltimore's on the ropes. As you said, you guys don't have that many players. You're just sort of getting through these games. I think the other game you lost by one or whatever, you had absolutely no corners as well. So you literally couldn't field a team in overtime. So I think when you've taken that last minute touchdown, you've got the momentum swing with you. So essentially, I think you've got to take them while the momentum's in your corner, because if you go and you say, all right, we'll go to overtime, we'll reset, you can potentially lose that momentum shift that you've got on your side of the field. And then if they get the ball, we've seen multiple times recently that a lot of these overtimes, they're getting one in that first drive. Guys are throwing a touchdown, and that's it, game over. And so if you don't win that flip of the coin and you lose that momentum, you're basically done and you're running there. As you said, you've got limited numbers on your defense. You probably want to just put it in the offense and say, righto, we live and die by this. And I think most of the guys are happy with that, but that's what I probably lean on. I think if you've got the momentum, you've got to go for it, especially considering you've got no players.
Yeah, well, look, as frustrating as that we did lose on those players, we got to the point to have a crack. And I think I probably agree with you here. In the moment, I'm pissed off because we lost and had the chance to win or put it away or even go to overtime. But I think the decisions are correct. I think based on our situation, I think they're the right decisions. And look, he's a hero if he makes them, and he hasn't the last two, so everyone's sort of blowing up at him. But look, those two decisions can go the other way and you've won another two games. I suppose putting it in perspective, those with the outs that we have, I suppose, just to rattle off a few, this week we had quarterback one. Oh, sorry, from the start of the season, I think if you're looking at what we would have had compared to what we have now. So we're missing quarterback one, running back one, two, and three. Wide receivers, we're missing Sammy Watkins. That's wide receiver two out. We've got a Pro Bowl left tackle and Ronnie Stanley out. Right tackle one's out, and then right tackle two fell out during the game. I think one of the guards was out, and then on the defense, that's just shambles. I think defensive end one, defensive end two, then both safeties are out, both corners are out, and then they also lost cornerback three and four to COVID and during the game. So it's an absolute shit show, and the fact that we're in games is beyond me. But I think I don't know if we make the playoffs from here.
Yeah, look, I mean, again, AFC, it's tight. You look at your division at the moment, you guys sit second to Cincinnati, and I think this is, again, on tiebreakers. Yep. But considering Pittsburgh and Cleveland both have just one win behind you as well, it could be really tight. I suppose, again, it's going to be your longevity, really, and coming through your injuries. Obviously, these COVID protocols, hopefully they go through, but a lot of the guys that are on injured reserve is going to be tough. And so to make it through these next three games, you've got the Bengals, the Rams, and the Steelers. I think if you get one of those, you're a good chance for a wild card spot, but to go through that wild card weekend and then to try and follow that up is going to be really tough in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's sad to say, I've almost chalked this season up to like pretty much done. Like, I don't want to say we won't or will make the playoffs, but I think, as you said, if we make it to the playoffs, it's going to be very tough to get through one, let alone 2 weeks.
Yeah, big. A couple other games that sort of caught our eye. I think, obviously, it goes without saying, the Lions topping the Cardinals. Now, that was just despicable by the Cardinals. The Cowboys keep rolling. They dominated the Giants. Steelers took over the Titans, which was quite a grunge match there. You can see the defenses. And I think this is, as we said, the Titans are probably showing their weakness without their running back there. Texans managed to spoil the Jaguars' certain win, considering they just lost their coach. But I think a big one was the Saints shutting out Tom Brady for, I think, was this the first time ever, or at least the first time in like 15 years or something ridiculous? 9-0. Talking about an absolute war in the trenches. No touchdowns scored. Jeez, you would have been, this would have been one for the purists.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, that's, I suppose, if you had any bets on the first touchdown score or any time touchdown score, you would have been absolutely furious. But yeah, absolutely cracking game. And I think Tom's left his Microsoft Surface in the bin after he smashed it. And I think it's funny, but I saw someone talking about that. If Odell Beckham smashed his Surface, what would people be saying in the media compared to when Tom Brady did it? He's just super passionate and he's just angry.
Yeah, look, and I mean, that's just the way you play it. And I suppose that's the sort of status that Tom affords himself. He's gone out and he's won, what, five or six Super Bowls. So he gets to write his narrative and be the good guy, I suppose. But yeah, as you said, today he wasn't a very good guy. But geez, that pick by that Gardner bloke, that was unreal. Oh. And he just picked that one out of the air. It was just sensual. And you could see they just had nothing for it. And I think now Brady's now 0-4 against the Saints since moving to the Bucs. So he really cannot shake them no matter what. And I mean, considering that Taysom Hill was there, he really should have probably done better.
Oh, I agree. And I think this is an interesting one for me now. We've obviously seen him lose Leonard Fournette and Chris Godwin for the season. Mike Evans may also be injured at the moment. Definitely not season, but he's hamstrung. With a less of a supporting cast, is Tom Bay, are they still a chance to win the Super Bowl? I think Tom, is he going to get sort of shown out now for his age and his ability because he's not surrounded by an outstanding crew as much?
I think so. I think he's got a good chance to still make that NFC Championship game, but you come up against like a raging Packers or something like that, he's not going to be able to handle them this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple other ones. We touched on the Raiders beating the Browns before, but look, today as well, there are a couple other games. Rams beating the Seahawks and the Eagles. Jalen Hurts balling out for a first time in a while as well. He's really got the Philly rolling. He rolled in 200-odd yards, and I think ran in two touchdowns as well, rolling in the Pixmas picks for the boys.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever please Philly fans. I know Meagle's blowing up today about how shit Jalen Hurts was. And look, I didn't watch the game that much. I didn't realize he did fumble in the red zone. However, the intercept, that was ridiculous. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but check it out. Obviously, the pass has gone to Dallas Goedert. Drops it, comes off the back of his heel as he's running, flicks straight up into the hands of the defender. I don't think anyone knew what was going on there. But yeah, you're right, Hurts has been pretty good for them lately. I think, what has he thrown today? 20 of 26, 296 yards, a touchdown, and then that stinky intercept, and then run two in. Like, what more could you ask for in a game? I know Washington were down to their third-string quarterback, but they've actually been playing pretty good footy at the moment.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can plan at all, considering what other options you essentially have out on the market lately. Like we said, quarterbacks at the moment, there's probably, you can count them on one hand, actual decent ones that you'd want as a franchise. The rest, it's basically just a merry-go-round. So I think if he's starting to put in these more consistent performances, sure, it's not standard quarterback play that you might call it. However, if he's just consistently starting to ping together drives and get the offense moving and the chains rolling, I don't think you can complain too much, to be honest.
No, I completely agree. I think they're pretty spoiled over there in Philly. I don't know what they'll do with him, to be honest. I think he's been playing well enough to be there next year and see what they do. They've got a lot of picks in the first round, so it's going to be interesting to see if they do get him a lot of help. But I'm just curious to see with Philly next year.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that'll roll us in. We might get on to our awards for this week, starting off with our rookie watch. Who have you got for us?
Rookie watch this week, I have gone Troy Bolton from the Wildcats from High School Musical, but he's gone Nick Bolton from the Kansas City Chiefs linebacker. In their win over the Los Angeles Chargers, he had 14 tackles, 10 of them solo, and 3 passes defended. This outstanding game from him, really. And I think looking across the season, he's had 64 solo tackles and 102 total tackles. I think there's not much more you can ask for from a linebacker in his first year.
Yeah, no, and a bit of a late pick there too, I think. So probably not too many people keeping an eye on him. So he's really flown under the radar, but playing well for us. This week for myself, I've got the Browns, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the 4th round pick out of USC, which is basically wide receiver U at the moment, if you look at their alumni running through. But look, he had a great game. He was there for Goff. Goff has been great recently, but I think Brown has been sort of a great target for him. You sort of look at their other guys. You know, obviously they've been having a bit of trouble on the rushing with Swift not there, but Brown's been available, 8 receptions for 90 yards, 1 TD. He picked out of 11 targets, so he's definitely getting targeted a lot more lately, and you can see he's consistently catching those balls and bringing them in.
Yeah, I think Goff's definitely found his man, and look, I think in their first win of the season, he caught that winning touchdown. So look, St. Brown is obviously the brother of Equanimeous St. Brown, great name again, but he's starting to show his ability.
Yeah, very good. All right, and then moving on to our team of the year, I believe we only have the one decision this week. We're just going to go into the defense. Who have we got, Cam?
Yeah, I think it's pretty hard to go past. Now, look, we've talked about this before we came on, and this guy has moved position during the season, but we're going to go by the rule of thumb that whatever their position is on most of the things, so ESPN, all those sort of things, what they're listed as is what we're going to play them as. So we can't go past the rookie of the year candidate, defensive rookie of the year candidate, even defensive MVP candidate, or Micah Parsons.
Yeah, absolutely. He's had a huge year. I think you're just sort of watching him play and he just looks like an elite level footballer already. You mentioned multiple positions. So even just on the line, he's been a freak defending. But even just dropping back into coverage, there was a couple of times there on the weekend where he was able to drop back and force a pass defense and things like that, and really just man coverage quite well. So, you know, for a big guy, he's also got some quite good legs.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. And I think looking at statistics, I think he started the season pretty well. Not as well as probably that they thought. I think he had the play calling as the linebacker with the green dot on his helmet. They had an injury, I think, to Marcus Lawrence, I believe, which now has shifted him to play a bit of football on the defensive end. And that's where he's really shone. I think, what has he got? 12 sacks, which puts him 7th in the league, 57 solo tackles, 3 forced fumbles. Like, the man is doing it all. And as you said, he does play in multiple positions. I think he even lined up at corner, maybe one of the gate this game. But he is just playing unbelievably and absolutely deserves to be in team of the year, I think.
Yeah, he's a king. So we'll put that up and who is against over on the Instagram. And then next week we will probably be throwing a few different ways up because we've got a couple of weeks left for this team of the year and we've put ourselves in a bind as we've already sort of finished it. But that's all right. We'll figure something out for you. All right. Let's move into flying and dying. Who is flying for you this week, Cam?
Flying, and I think we can't go past, and I was going to go the Detroit Lions as a team because they've won 2 of their last 3 games, but I think there's a big reason for that. I know the defense is playing pretty well, but Jared Goff has been playing, for me, decent football. I think he started the year, and the people didn't really expect too much because he's gone to a team that's absolutely struggling, but let's just have a look at his last 3 games. So 3 weeks ago on their first win, 25 of 41 passes, 296 yards, 3 TDs and a pick. They lost to Denver, which, I mean, they did lose pretty comfortably. 24-39, 215 yards, touchdown and the intercept. The win this week against Arizona, 21 of 26, which is 80% completion, 8.3 yards per attempt, so 216 yards, 3 touchdowns, no intercepts. It's starting to click in Detroit. And look, they're not going to be dangerous. They're not going to beat that many people. But I think he's starting to show why he's a decent enough quarterback. I know he went to a Super Bowl with the Rams and hasn't done much since, but he's going all right.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was previously a number one pick, and as much as I don't like him that much, you still got to credit someone because they did enough work to be made number one, even though he flopped a bit. But he's starting to resurrect his career, and he could have a couple of nice years in Detroit, essentially. So building that sort of – they're building a nice little nucleus there. As you said, not really going to trouble anyone probably, especially considering their division at the moment. But, you know, I think they'll be there and they'll start to, you know, bring some love back to the Motor City.
Absolutely. I think Dan Campbell's doing a phenomenal job. I think he's such a passionate guy and I'd like to see him stick around and do a bit more with them. But, yeah, so who is flying for you this week?
Yeah, look, sticking around the NFC North, I've gone the Green Bay Packers. They are the first team in the league to clinch their playoff spot this week. So they can't now sit at the top of the league as well at 11-3. They've been absolutely impeccable at home this year as well, going 6-0. They're looking like they're going to seal up that number one seed at the moment. You look at the other guys around, they've got Dallas, Tampa Bay, and then Arizona and Rams in between them that are sitting all at 10 wins. So they're the potential guys that could come up and beat them. But you look at sort of their run home, you got the Browns, the Vikings, who they actually lost to a couple of weeks ago. I think they went down by 3, it was. And they've got a game against the Lions. So you assume they take away the Lions. That's 12 wins. Probably, depending on how the Browns come back out of COVID protocol, but you would say that's pretty safe win there. So there's at least 2 wins. And then I think this Vikings game could be quite close, but you're hoping that, I think, at home, they keep that home record quite safe. Look, even with 2 wins, that's 13-win season. That probably locks up the number one seed there for them.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one with the Packers. And I think if they can get some of these guys back that they're missing, and I suppose we talked about Ravens missing players, but, I mean, Green Bay are missing some really good players. David Bakhtiari still isn't playing, which is an all-pro left tackle. They're also missing Jair Alexander. Now, in saying that, Jair Alexander has been replaced. And this guy, I think, has been one of the shining lights for me for Green Bay this year, and Russell Douglas. I suppose he spent a few years in Philadelphia, went to Carolina, didn't really go that great, but he's been starting as number one corner opposite, I think, Stokes, the rookie. And he has just been playing unbelievably this year for Green Bay. So, look, once they get Jair Alexander back, I don't know if he's back this year, but I think he's been training. Yeah, this team is going to watch out for in the NFC now.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, now on to dying for yourself.
Dying, I have gone COVID, namely the Omicron variant. It's just killed, like, look, this season and even summer over here now is going to be rampaged by what we believe is going to be a huge summer of COVID cases and Christmas time. I think everyone's going to be wondering, instead of Secret Santa, what they're getting is who's going to bring COVID to Christmas. It's just this week in the league was absolutely decimated. Obviously, we saw the moving of schedules. We saw games being pushed later, teams playing third-string quarterbacks, teams playing really struggling, picking up blokes left, right, and centre. I just don't know how much damage this is going to do down the track coming into the playoffs and coming deep into winter in the US. It could wreak havoc.
Yeah, well, I think it's smashed all the other sports. I saw the NHL, they basically ceased operation for at least till after like 26th or the 27th. So no one's playing or training by the looks. I'm not sure what the NBA is doing. I think they just do whatever they want anyway. So, but, you know, the NFL, we've seen, a couple of games got moved. The Browns got absolutely smoked by it, I think, and a couple other teams. But it's really, it's just a surprise packet. And I think they're going to start, it looks like they're going to start getting closer to a bit more of a bubble again, like we sort of saw last year, I suppose. But I can't see them getting away from fans and things like that. I think that's already open. They're probably going to let that rip with the fans. It's just about the players and what they let them do outside of the game day. And I think that's probably going to tighten down because realistically, I don't think the NFL wants anything shut off. They want to be playing games on Sunday because that's just what makes sense. And people don't like the short turnarounds as well. I think if you're a team that ends up with, say, you're playing today on a Wednesday or a Tuesday, you know, that short turnaround to then go into the next week is going to be pretty tough.
Yeah, 100%. Who is dying for you this week?
This week I've gone a bit of a betting way. We know we've had some dying weeks with some betting previously. So there was one fan, unfortunately, he had placed some pretty big wagers on Jalen Hurts making the most passing yards on Sunday. Now, because the game got moved, Aaron Rodgers ended up having the highest passing yards. So this one got voided. But if it had stayed, Jalen Hurts would have easily won and been the highest passer for the Sunday. So this guy would have made a mozza. But the tough one for me was there was a man who placed a bet on the correct score for the Vikings-Bears game. Vikings to win 17-10. Now, the Bears end up going down and scoring a touchdown on the last play of the game to make it 17-9. Now, because of what happened a couple of years ago in the Minneapolis Miracle, they have made it, you don't have to go down and kick the field goal. So they just ended the game and that was it, 17-9. He didn't get his chance. I think it was like a 151-1 shot or something like that. And the poor man just had it ripped from his heart. He was basically in his hand. They've scored the TD. All they needed to do was take a chip shot to get that 17-10 correct score. And the poor guy's just been left absolutely heartbroken.
Oh, I'd be absolutely furious. That would be grinding my gears. I would be blowing up for the rest of the week.
Oh, it's tough out there, isn't it? Now, you know, so best bets, even the pros get hit. So it's tough out there. And all right, we'll move on to our next segment. All right, and another man back to save us from the monologues again. A guy that we've sort of missed for a couple of weeks, but he comes back hotter than ever. Meikle, how you going?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, mate, as we sort of mentioned at the start of the pod, sober and safer.
That's good to hear.
All right, you want to get stuck into us for us? Light the fire.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, you can put a line through the Arizona Cardinals. They are not making any impact in the playoffs this year. Sunday's loss was the Cardinals' second in a row and fourth in their past seven games. While they started 7-0, they are 3-4 since. This week was a disaster, getting flogged by the Lions, who haven't beaten anyone this year. The defense made Jared Goff look like Aaron Rodgers, giving up 30 points and the highest QBR of the week. While Kyler has started to struggle since his hot start, having 3 turnovers to 1 touchdown over the last 2 weeks. Now, Arizona is still 10-4 and set equal top in the NFC West, but they need to right the ship and do it soon. A particular concern is how they struggle at home and can't show up in big games. The Cardinals are 3-3 at home compared to 7-1 on the road, and those 3 home losses have come in their last 3 home games. They struggle in primetime games or in games with major implications as well. They're 1-4 on Thursday and Monday nights under Cliff Kingsbury, and so far 0-4 in playoff clinching games. While they have some key injuries, such as JJ Watt for the season, and DeAndre Hopkins being unable to go against the Lions, I'm not sure having them would have altered the result. We could be looking at an early playoff exit here. What do you think? Are the Cardinals pretenders or are they contenders?
Yeah, look, I think I was all over them early season. They look so hot. They could do no wrong. Even without, as you said, like, you know, JJ Watt or potentially Hopkins, you know, guys were sort of coming out for injury a couple of times and they still managed to cover for them. But just this last sort of stretch of couple of weeks have just been absolutely atrocious. They've just had been not able to put anything good together. Kyler Murray has just stunk beyond all knowledge. And, you know, they just weren't able to turn up, as you said, not able to turn up in big games. I mean, this shouldn't even be a game on their schedule. They should just be walking through this as a bye, essentially, but they basically just get rolled over by Goff and taken out. And they're pretty much in danger of potentially losing their playoff spot, but easily going out in straight sets.
Yeah, I 100% agree. They're looking at their run home. They've got the Colts, the Cowboys, and the Seahawks. Now, they're capable of losing all three of these. As Meikle said, they're not very good at home. Two of those are at home. Colts are running hot. If they can't stop the run with Jonathan Taylor, they're fucked there. Seahawks actually showed up today. Cowboys, as we've said before, defensively are really good. Now, we spoke earlier in the season that we didn't believe, as Meikle said, the Cardinals were that good of a team. When they're 7-0 run, we still didn't believe they were pretty highly overrated. Now, if they make the playoffs, and I think DeAndre Hopkins potentially won't be back to the NFC Championship games at the very least, will they bomb out early weeks or can they make it through a week or two?
Well, I think early on, they're probably looking at that first round bye. They're going to go top. I don't even think they're going to win their division at this rate. I don't think the Rams are going to take that one out. So, I mean, the NFC is pretty weak. They might get lucky and play a team that's sneaking in, like maybe someone like the Falcons, maybe the 49ers, but I wouldn't be surprised if they lost first week or at the very best. I don't think they're making it past the second week of the playoffs.
Yeah, agreed. I think, you know, you mentioned a couple of teams there. If you come up against potentially like a Vikings or even a New Orleans, who we saw knock off the Buccaneers, they could have some real trouble against any of those teams essentially in the first week.
Yeah, 100%. Now, look, I think the Ravens have survived another week. I can't wait for you to tuck into them eventually when you give them a spray, and I'll be waiting for that one. But, yeah, thanks for coming back this week. You kind of saved the ship after Zach's little one-man show last week. So thanks for your hot minute, and we'll have you back next week.
No worries. Good to be back.
All right, and after wrapping up that hot minute, we're going to tuck into some Week 16 action, previewing the games. Kicking off on Friday, which is the 49ers versus the Titans. Now, for me personally, it's at the Titans' home. They're 9-5, San Francisco 8-6. Both teams have been quite shaky throughout the year. There hasn't been really much consistency with them both. You know, at the quarterback position, you've got Jimmy Garoppolo and Ryan Tannehill. Ryan has just been 14 TDs, 14 interceptions, so really nothing good there. And considering he's got no running back now, I don't feel safe with him. Garoppolo, on the other hand, as well, just hasn't been doing it for me. And for some reason, he's been able to keep Trey Lance out of a job so far. Personally, I like San Francisco at the moment, just sort of their team at the moment. They've got Debo Samuel, the RB wide receiver one, who's been killing it. Also, they've got another running back there, Elijah Mitchell, who's been absolutely tearing it up. So I'm just going to lean them on a slow win here. Just a tight one. What are your thoughts, Cam?
Yeah, I think this is a really tough one to pick because you just said, and we were talking off air with Meikle just then. He's saying Trey Lance, there must be something wrong with him because Garoppolo has been sinking. I quickly had a Google and I was like, oh, I thought he might be injured. The headline did state 49ers say that Trey Lance has been dicing them up at practice, but Jimmy Garoppolo is undoubtedly the team leader. So there must be an absolute shit show there. If he's dicing them up at practice, but still isn't getting a run, there must be issues. But yeah, both teams, I don't think have the ascendancy over each other at the moment based on what they're missing. I'll probably lean 49ers, as you said, but yeah, I'm not 100% sold.
Nah, not at all. Then we sort of move on. We've got a couple of games on Sunday. So we got a bit of a spread at the moment. We're having a full slate of games these last couple of weeks. No buys anymore. So they're spread out a bit. So a couple of games on Sunday, Australian Eastern Standard Time for us. You know, that's the Boxing Day game. Doesn't really matter, I suppose. Anyway, we're all off work, so that's kind of handy. But it kicks off with the Browns v. the Packers. Now, look, assuming that the Browns are still in some trouble with COVID protocol, I'd still lean towards Green Bay anyway, but considering their COVID protocol, they should be able to get away with an easy one here at home.
Yeah, I reckon Browns get absolutely dusted here. I'm really hoping they do because they kind of need some of the AFC North teams to have a few losses so we can sort of sit there in a bounce. We're kind of hoping AFC teams lose. We need AFC teams that are sitting just outside us to lose. So I'm going to be backing every team from the NFC this week.
So then I'm assuming the next game on the Sunday slate, you'll be taking the Cardinals to beat the Colts there.
Look, yeah, I'm probably going to have to change that straight away. I don't believe, as we've just heard from Meikle, Cardinals have sucked since they've gone 7-0. And we've talked previously about the fact that we didn't believe, and we might have to audio clip that and find what we said earlier in the season because we may not be right all the time, but this one we may actually be right on. So I'm going to lean on the Colts here. It could be an interesting game with a bounce back though.
Yeah, I think, look, Jonathan Taylor should rip through this defense here at the moment. You know, and I think as we sort of mentioned earlier, Carson Wentz, if he's sort of been able to keep stable, he should be able to keep the drives alive. If there's just a long third down that, you know, you don't want to roll JT in, as long as he delivers on those perspective in the game, I think they'll be able to keep the ball rolling, chains moving, keep the pressure on the Cardinals, and you'll be able to make them roll over quite easily. Then we move on to the Monday games. There's a big game, Ravens v. Bengals here. Now, you guys will be looking to get some revenge back on the Bengals after last time. What's the Ravens situation at the moment with Lamar? Is he back or no?
I think it was, it was bone bruising or something like that. And I don't think if he's 100%, not 100% healthy, I don't think it's worth bringing him back. Huntley's doing a good enough job. When he's played, I believe over the last few weeks, he has played better than Lamar has been playing over the last 4 weeks. Lamar was pretty good at the start of the season, has really trailed off lately, and just decision-making has been really poor. And I think that's a big hole, glaring hole in his game. Huntley kind of fixes that a little bit. His decision making had been pretty good. I know that last play for the 2 points, I didn't like the play call, but I don't know what we'll do. I'm not really confident that we'll beat the Bengals. I don't know, like, I'm being pretty pessimistic here. I think we could lose most of the last three games and bow out.
Yeah, look, and it's going to be a tough one, marching over to Cincinnati in their home ground. You look at Joe Burrow, Chase, they've been quite good, but the man in the mission has been Joe Mixon. I've absolutely loved what he's been doing lately. He's ticked over 1,000 yards at the moment. He's just absolutely rolling through that offense and basically bringing some stability to their offense.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I suppose you didn't think about that. Last time they played us, absolutely torched us in the secondary. We've got no secondary at the moment. So betting odds, I wouldn't mind having a look at maybe Joe Burrow over passing yards, or maybe Chase or Tyler Boyd or Higgins. I think they're all value there because I think our secondary is absolutely decimated. Someone's going to make some yards over the top.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple other big games in the slate. There'll be the Rams v. the Vikings. This could come down to it. We've seen the Rams. They've started to click lately with Stafford just rolling through. You see some of the vision as well that he's been putting up. He's been able to pass guys out. You see Cooper Kupp has been dominating. They've been able to involve OBJ a little bit more and things like that. Even Sony Michel, you know, the running back, he's been able to pop up and start, you know, delivering a bit. And just their defense, Von Miller recorded his first sack for the Rams now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't need to name the other guys, Ramsey, Donald, you know, the crew, you know how they play. Is it really worth diving into it? But I think the Vikings coming through, we've always said that Cousins has been able to handle this team well. Their defense is pretty decent. They've got Justin Jefferson over there on the offense, who's been just absolutely unguardable. So I don't think you can count them out at all. It could be a tough game realistically over in Minnesota, and with the conditions and things like that, LA to come over to a really cold place, although I've just walked into it again, indoor stadium, but still could be an issue.
Yeah, trap for young players there, the old indoor stadium. Look, it's wide receiver one versus wide receiver two in the league this week. Now, I see Cooper Kupp has only got about 300-odd yards to make it to 2,000. I don't believe he'll make it unless he has a huge game within the regular, what we'd say, what everyone else has played previously in the 16-game season. But I think he could make it by the end of the season. He could be the first player ever over 2,000 yards, which is huge. I'm really excited for this. And I suppose Matty Stafford, we saw, is now the fastest player to 50,000 passing yards. I guess he went so far unnoticed for so long in a poor Detroit team that now he's in a good team. He's rolling, and I think the Rams are rolling, and I think they do get over the top in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And another one that's going to be quite critical is the Bills versus the Patriots. You basically look at this game, Patriots 9-5, Bills 8-6. The Patriots win this. They pretty much seal their division, I believe. It'll be too far gone for the Bills to come back. But the Bills, if they manage to even the score and get some comeback after last time, they could basically make a play to take back the division.
Yeah, this is a huge game because I think, yeah, the Bills were really unfairly done by with the weather last time in the wind. Now this will be in an outdoor stadium and it will be cold. Yeah, look, if the wind is down in this game, I think it makes such a difference. And I think if they can stuff the run like the Colts did against the Patriots, Bills can get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple other big games I think that are going to be interesting. Probably the Steelers v. the Chiefs. Chiefs, you should think, should win easily, but they've got some big outs through COVID. I believe Hill and Kelsey are gone. And you look at the Steelers' defense. If they manage to get some good pressure on, could we see some early season form of interceptions roll out for Mahomes again?
Yeah, fucking Steelers getting a good hand. I thought Steelers were done and dusted. We weren't going to see them in the playoffs, but they managed to just stick there in abouts. And I think they could cause an upset this week. As you said, with no, like, Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle are probably the go-to guys on offense now. And I don't know who the tight end is now with Kelsey out, unless he can make it back. But yeah, there could be a bit of strife.
Yeah, very much so. And finally, on that Monday slate of games, can't not talk about the Broncos v. the Raiders. This is essentially for to stay alive in the season. At 7-7, we're at the bottom of the in the hunt. If you lose this, I think you're pretty much too far gone. Considering the Raiders, they managed to chop us up last time we met. Their defense just absolutely slaughtered us. And I'm not quite sure how Bridgewater is going to go in the concussion protocol, because I believe this is his second one as well. So I'm not sure whether Drew Lock will suit up as quarterback number one. Probably still tip the Broncos because, as we all know, I've got, you know, no peripheral vision and I just love them for better or worse, I suppose. But I'm hoping that the rest of the team can galvanize and at least provide options for Locke to make the best decision possible. And, you know, as we said, any given Sunday, you turn up, you can and will win as long as you put your best foot forward.
Yeah, this is a pretty cool look. It's a crucial, I wouldn't say it's a crucial one. It is a crucial one for you because it keeps you alive. But then you've got the Chargers and the Chiefs to finish out the season. And the Raiders probably have a similar sort of run home, I would say, just having a quick look here. They play the Colts and then the Chargers. So I think whoever wins this week, obviously the person who loses is eliminated, and then the other team will probably be eliminated in the following weeks. But look, hopefully you can get one over the Raiders. I hate them.
Yeah, absolutely. Finally, to wrap up the week, we've got the Dolphins v. the Saints. Now, I think this is on a bit of a knife's edge. I'd probably, as we sort of said, the Dolphins have come on a big win streak, but they haven't sort of beaten everyone on a note. However, the Saints, on the flip side, Taysom Hill has been a little bit shaky to starting life as QB1, but a great win. That defense absolutely balled out last week, kept them scoreless. So I think my gut sort of leads me to pick the Saints, and I think that's why I'm going to go for them over no other reason, because I think over just the years of not trusting my gut, I've been burnt too many times. But I think just that defense, you've seen that pressure that they've been able to get the past couple of weeks. I think that's going to really put some pressure on Tua, who's going to really need to make, you know, he's going to need to make all the correct calls. And I think he just doesn't quite have that in him just yet. He's still got a couple of mistakes in his game when the pressure comes on. And I think that's where they're going to be able to find the cracks and put the pressure on him.
Yeah, 100%. I think the Saints showed what they can do on defense. If they can do what they did to the Bucks, they'll get it done. Now, I think Dolphins probably had a favorable run, and I think that comes to an end this week.
Yeah, okay. So that'll wrap us up for the week. As we said, we're getting down to the pointy end of the season, so we're pretty keen for that. Speaking of pointy end of the season, the bowl season started for the college football. There was some fun games out there. We sort of saw, I think one that caught my eye, obviously Fresno State, they got over UTEP, our boy Heisman Hayner delivering a couple ones. He's also announced that he's coming back for a final year, so watch out for the Dogs. Yes. A big one was Western Kentucky over App State. Now, may not have heard his name too much, but Bailey Zappi, he now holds the record for the most passing yards and the most passing TDs in a college season, breaking Joe Burrow's previous record. He has 5,967 yards and 62 TDs. Now, the naysayers will be out there because he wasn't in a great conference, but, you know, as we sort of said, you can't pick your opponents. So he's gone out, he's balled out. I mean, 62 touchdowns is still a lot, to be honest.
Oh, it's crazy. I was up with the young fella when I was watching this game, just seeing what Zapp could do, getting him home. Fuck, he was going for everything to try and break the record. What baffled me is the fact that you were 30-odd yards short of making 6,000 yards. 6,000 yards just sounds so much nicer. Mm. But as you said, he holds both records now, and those are both unbelievable records.
Yeah, and then I think finally, we just had another great game, Northern Illinois versus Coastal Carolina. That was unreal, 47-41. It was just an absolute score fest, and that's what we're all about with these ones. I think if you go back and have a look, some of these running backs, they're just getting some absolute yardage out, multiple 100-yard games, multiple touchdowns, QBs are getting runs. So it's good fun to watch this sort of stuff. I think there's a couple of nice games coming up towards the Christmas slate, but the ones that we're sort of watching are going to be towards New Year's Day, so your New Year's Six. So I think we'll probably cover them later up, but what have we sort of got coming up? We got UCF v Florida, North Texas versus Miami, Ohio, Memphis take on Hawaii, and Georgia State take on Ball State for Boxing Day.
Yeah, so there's a few good games coming up. Yeah, we're really waiting for those New Year's Six games. Just going back to that Coastal Carolina, Northern Illinois, if you've got a chance, there was a trick play towards the end of the game, and fuck knows what they were doing. Northern Illinois ran a trick play on, and it wasn't even a trick play. It just got absolutely stuffed the run and did nothing, and it looked stupid, and it pretty much cost them the game, I would say. But yeah, if you can check that one out, it's pretty funny. But we're pretty keen for some of these bowl games coming up. I've obviously got Tennessee on New Year's Eve here against the Boilovers. But yeah, we're really keen for these New Year's Six bowl games, and then obviously the College Football Championship coming on 11th of January.
Yeah, it's very good. We'll talk about them more next week because I can see our timing is running out on Zoom because we are cheap and don't pay for it, but that's all right. The content is obviously always fire. So that means I think we'll wrap it up. Unless there's anything you got, Cam, we will roll and we'll see you all next week.
Yeah, next week, just a quick one. We could have our very first live show next week. We might have to hold this one at Meikle's house. Don't hold your breath. It may not happen, but we are all in the same place at the same time, so we could look forward to that.
Absolutely. Love it. Can't wait.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.